HealingPowerHour.com.
Healing Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Akila L.
Dr. Akila L, but you can call me Dr. Akila. And once again, we're here to Healing Power Hour Radio. Thanks for tuning in to me. I appreciate you listening, and I most of all appreciate you. And I give you greetings of peace, love, health, and prosperity. I got an email yesterday. I'm going to probably have to do a show on this, but someone emailed me and asked me, why should I greet my enemies and or bless my enemies or send blessings to my enemies or those who have transgressed against me, sending them healing, healthy thoughts, wishing them prosperity, wishing them health, wishing them love and peace. Why should I wish that upon them when they did this to me, when they stole from me, when they, you know, took my man, when they... Why should I wish someone who is evil or bad those beautiful things? And, you know, like I said last time, you know, you're wishing for them, but in essence, you're really wishing for yourself. And, you know, believe it or not, when you wish great things and beautiful things and empowering things to someone that is not nice to you, someone who gives you challenges, someone who gives you attitude, you know, it comes back stronger and threefold. So I'll go into more on that because that's a science. It's actually a beautiful secret. Everyone talk about the secret. Well, that's one of the secrets out there is to wish upon your enemies, just like in the Bible. You know, it states that, you know, by seeds, you know, bless my transgressors and those who've done things against me like myself. So, you know, I forgive them and you need to forgive yourself. So definitely tune in for that because there's some science behind that. And I would like everyone to take into consideration that you're forgiving and it's not letting people off the hook, but it's just forgiving yourself and letting things go. My friend Adeya Anifa Wose said something about letting go. He says, when someone says, oh, I can't let go, it's just been hurting me for so many years. And he said, letting go is just as easy as you want it to be. It's your decision. When you hold, if I was to stick something very hot in your hand, would you hold on to it or would you let it go? Well, you let it go or else it's going to burn your hand. And I love that analogy. As a matter of fact, I might have to invite him and we vibe off of each other. I'm really good vibing off other people. You know, when I'm on my own, I just go off on a rant just like I just did in the next 4 minutes. So let me get on to the topic. Our topic today is the importance of having a clean colon, something that I've been wanting to talk about for a long time, and now I have the opportunity to do so. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's talk about, first of all, everyone knows that their colon is in the lower area of their stomach, or shall I say it's below your stomach, the actual organ of your stomach, not your belly, where your belly button is. But it's the organ, it's the intestinal organs right behind your belly, where your belly button area is. Now, cleansing the bowels eliminates the source of poisoning. You know, this process allows regeneration of the blood and energy to flow naturally. And did you know that cleansing the colon will also allow the body to repair itself? So colon cleanse is very, very important. Anyone who is sick has bowel trouble. Whether they know it or not, they have bowel problems. And usually that is a result from a dirty colon. If they do not get their bowels back to functioning properly or normally, all therapies, treatments, supplements, and other holistic aids will fall short of their excellent potential. Proper bowel functions is a must for staying healthy and overcoming sickness and disease. So in other words, if you need to cleanse your body, if you need to heal yourself of diseases and sickness, you first start with the colon. When people come see me for nutritional consultation or I talk to them for phone consultation, I always ask about their bowel movements. I always ask them how often they eliminate. I even get really detailed. I need to know the shape and size of it. I was watching the BBC channel where it says there's a show on there from the UK called You Are What You Eat. And the holistic nutritionist, I don't even know what her name is, but she's a short, petite, blonde chick. And she loves, I don't care to say she loves it, but she looks forward to looking and smelling the bowel movement of her clients or of the people who she's going to change their lifestyle. And I thought to myself, no way. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can deal with a lot, trust me, but then again, she's probably getting paid a lot of money to smell and look and analyze other people's feces, but, you know, for me, that's not part of my consultation package, so you just have to tell me, you know, I'll take your word for it. So I just wanted to throw that out there about it is important. Of the size and the color and the smell that detects what type of a level of health you're in. So, you know, because most illnesses are caused by unhealthy colons. So, depending upon that, you know, we can determine the state of health your body is in. Anywho, getting back to this, you know, colds, flu, cancer, cardiovascular diseases, arthritis, and allergies are just a few examples of diseases caused by excessive amount of poor quality food combined with bad elimination. When you don't eliminate properly, food may stay in the colon for days, weeks, months, even years. It's going to start molding and poisoning your entire system. And in most cases, serious diseases is the result of a level of toxicity based upon those eliminated waste in your system. So understand that a hamburger that you had about 3 or 4 years ago, it could still be in the colon today. It just depends on, you know, your eating habits, your exercise, the water, and all of that. These all play a role in keeping your colon cleansed. Now, colon cleansing can provide relief from illnesses such as colds and flus. It can relieve you of constipation as well as diarrhea, bad breath, and body odor is really a direct indication of a foul colon. Someone who has halitosis, you know, they have halitosis, but they're going to deal with stuff in their mouth or do the tongue scraper. That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. You can scrape your tongue all you want to. You can use Listerine, any kind of mouthwash. You can even gargle with bleach. It will not get rid of the halitosis because it's coming from the colon. And the reason, you know, if you notice, people who love, you know, meat, they have the worst breath. And when I say meat, I'm talking about that the hardcore meat like beef and pork. And let's just know for future reference, Dr. Keela is going to always talk down on beef and pork, always. First of all, pork has no nutritional value whatsoever. It is strictly a pleasurable food. But most of all, it is a scavenger animal that can eat its own self. It eats crap, doo-doo, number two, boo-boo, bowel movements, whatever you want to call it. It eats that. It doesn't care. It has no preference of food, just as long as it eats it. And it's been used in every religious story, no matter what your religion is. The pig is not a healthy animal in any religion, okay? So why would you eat it? And also, let's just talk about this for a second about swine. Because when you kill the pig, it begins to rot immediately. So they have to preserve it with so much sodium so that it doesn't rot. It will stay that same color, but they also add dye to it so it can look like it's been freshly slaughtered. But it's probably 2, 3, 4 weeks old, but it's been preserved, or what I call embalmed. So before it gets into the produce meat section in your local market or grocery store for you to purchase. You know, it's just a foul-smelling flesh, and it's full of parasites, full of worms, full of all kinds of bacteria and viruses. And it's just, there's no need to eat it except when you say, I just want to eat it for the hell of it because it tastes so good. Well, okay, then I can't argue with you. You know, if you just want to eat it just because it tastes so good, but understand that there is a cause and effect for everything. You go out there and start eating that swine, and then all of a sudden, I got high blood pressure, Dr. Keela. Really? Imagine that. And then let's talk about beef. Now, as a vegetarian, let me just say this for the record. You know, beef was not hard to stop. I wasn't born a vegetarian. I became a vegetarian after I naturally cured myself. Well, not I did. Valerie and myself cured myself of cervical cancer. And I had to go on a vegetarian / vegan, almost like 10%, no, 30% raw. So it was like vegetarian, vegan, raw diet. And when the testing from the medical doctors and the second opinion stated that I was cancer-free, they didn't see any cancer cells, I went on a vegetarian diet. I did miss chicken, and that's another story, but I did my best. I even had a relapse. I went on vegetarian diet, and I could stop the fish, and I could stop the pork and beef, but boy, that yard bird was just so hard to get out of my system. And the only reason I couldn't stop eating chicken was because I had a psychological connection to it. Chicken, to me, equals good times. When I was a little girl and my mom, you know, got extra money, or she, you know, she was a barber and a beautician, so if she got extra $50 tip, or if she made extra money or something like that, she would come home with a greasy bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, back in the day, this Kentucky Fried Chicken tastes totally different than it does now. And also, back then, a wing had 3 pieces, not 2. But when right now we're eating, not we, but most people who eat chicken are eating the hybrids, and the hybrid birds are just 2 wings and not 3. Back when I was a little girl, the 3 wings, the wings of a chicken were 3. It was the little drumstick, and then it had that little, it had the little thigh that was connected to the drumstick, and then the other third piece was this, was the actual wing. It was a funny shape type of of a piece of meat, but that's when we had it. She would, it had the drumsticks and the thighs, and she would just come home with chicken. And every time I ate chicken, when I was a little girl as well as a teenager, it was at a barbecue, family reunion, birthday parties, or regular party, or when I was a little girl, my mom celebrated because she got extra money. We were not fortunate when I was growing up. We were poor, so chicken was a delicacy. It was just something that was a treat for us, and therefore, at the time when I was in the process of going vegetarian and eliminating those meats, chicken was so hard, not because of the meat itself, but my psychological connection to the meat. So it took about a year for me to really get it out of my system, and even to this day, I have no desire to eat it. I even tried to eat it just for the sake of bodybuilding, and I put one piece in my mouth, and I spit it right back out. I just could not stand the texture of it and everything like that. So I'm healed. But anyway, chicken was just something it was hard to get rid of, but beef was not. And the reason is because beef is so hard on the system. It takes so many days to eliminate out of the system. It stays in the system. It really causes constipation. And do you know that the most recalled meat out there is beef? I mean, we had the worst recall. It was killing people left and right, and yet we're still eating hamburgers. We're still doing hot dogs, and hamburgers and hot dogs are made of unknown meat, you know, from the slaughterhouse, which consists of urine, blood, fecal matter, I mean, which is the same as of the other stuff, but it has all the unknown scraps from other slaughtered animals grind up in one patty or one link for you to eat as a sausage or a hot dog. Hamburgers and hot dogs is not meat from a known location of a cow. Like, you don't know if that hamburger came from the thigh, the intestines, the heart, the brain, the eyeball, the tongue. You don't know. It could be consist of all of that. Where identified meat like ribs, steak, you know, these are meats that you understand what part of the body they come from. But hamburgers and hot dogs, you're just eating any and everything. And this is why that is the most recalled meat of all, because it is the dirtiest meat of all of them. The dirtiest. And when it's killing people and they have so many recalls, you get on the news and they're like, hey, if you brought this beef or if you brought this ground beef or hamburgers from this company, you might want to throw it away or come over and get your money back because it's got E. coli in it. I don't understand that. Anyway, here I go again, going on a rant. So I could go on and on about meat, but for those who have halitosis, mainly it's because of the undigested food for years that has been accumulating against the walls of the colon and have layers and layers and layers and layers in the walls of the colon, and it's rotting, and that's going up through the digestive system and out up through the esophagus, and it's coming out the mouth, and that is what you smell. You also smell it out their bodies. Sometimes when I'm around people, I can smell the pork from them. I can smell the rotten beef. They don't even have to have halitosis. They can have the cleanest breath, but if they eat pork, I can smell it on them. This is why, you know, I don't deal with guys who eat swine. You can't stay away from me. Keep them critters to yourself. So anyway, let's get back to the benefits of having a clean colon. Okay, so cleansing the colon will relieve the body of fatigue if you have headaches. Now, headaches can also come from dehydration, too, so understand it could be both. If you have sinuses, allergies, hemorrhoids, if you are obese or have weight problems, digestive difficulties, back or muscle aches, knee pains, poor eyesight, poor memory, stress, etc., colon cleansing can relieve as well as aid in the healing of those illnesses. We as human beings cannot expect to have quick minds and vitality for living when our bodies are polluted with waste. Come on, people. You know, I have had some of my clients report an abundance of energy and overwhelming of joy, incredible eyesight and youthfulness. They feel that their bodies is so much youthful after cleansing their colon, you know, and they do look younger. You know, if you want to find out the secret to looking younger, honey, it is not on no surgeon's table with facelift, and it's not in the magic pill. It's in keeping the colon clean. You want to look younger? Take care of your body. Let's start with keeping your colon clean. You know, many of my elder clients report a dramatic relief of aches and pain in their back, chest, and joints. And others notice a dramatic increase of energy and mental awareness after having their colon cleansed. Now we at Celestial Healing Wellness Center, we do have colon cleansing products, but so do everybody else. And I'm going to teach you the difference between everybody. Now, I'm not saying that you should get ours. No, I'm definitely not. I'm going to educate you on the do's and don'ts of herbs. And please, I hope I have enough time because I'm running off at the mouth on this. But I'm going to teach you the do's and don'ts of the herb that you can take to help cleanse your colon and tell you about the foods which you know what you're supposed to eat and what not supposed to eat when it comes to cleansing your program your colon. So understand that these things are different for everybody. Now, the colon, everybody knows that the colon is a major part of the digestive system, and when it's ailing, so is the rest of your body. So you may be experiencing symptoms of clogged and otherwise underfunctioning colon. Your colon could be underfunctioning due to the fact it's clogged up, and you may not even realize this. It's the problem, but I'm here to tell you that it is, because sometimes if you want to find out if you're sick or you're ill, that the root cause is the problem, the root cause is due to the colon, and you can help amongst other things by starting at the colon first. Now, asthma, allergies, constipation, like I said earlier, you know, diarrhea, slugginess, fatigue, anxiety, even depression are all these symptoms of a dirty colon, so it is therefore very important that you keep your colon as clean as possible. Detoxifying the body is truly a fundamental step in reestablishing a healthy, balanced body. And there are several options you can take when it comes to cleansing the colon. So we're going to go into one of them is I'm going to probably go into, I'm looking at my notes, the herbs here. But hold on, let me, because my papers are all over the place. Of course they are. Why aren't they? So let me do a drop and get my papers together, and I will be right back.
This is Healing Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Akilah L. To listen to other archive radio shows full of health tips, holistic advice, and other natural remedies, check out our website at healingpowerhour.com. That's healingpowerhour.com. While you're there, feel free to sign up for our monthly newsletter and check out our list of educational videos. Have a health topic you would like us to discuss on the air? Tell us all about it by giving us a call at 770-603-0141 or go to our website to fill out our suggestion form. We look forward to hearing from you. HealingPowerHour.com.
Back, and I am all organized. You know, when I get on a rant, I throw my papers all over the place because I'm just so passionate about this. You know, I said this in my last broadcast, that the reason why I'm here on Earth is to teach, to educate people on health through the holistic means. And my boss, which is the Most High, which goes by many names, is who I am responsible for to answering to, and therefore a lot of times I'm just so full of information and knowledge. I just want to just get it out there, and understanding that, hey, I only signed up for an hour of this, so the more I keep going on, I just don't like doing part twos of certain subjects, so I'm going to definitely finish this within this segment. So anyway, let us begin. Let us continue. All right, talking on colon cleansing for those who just tune in. We're talking about the importance of keeping a clean colon. Now, when a person is constipated, the walls of the colon are generally packed or lined with accumulated waste. This causes extended periods of intestinal overloading by failure to have regular bowel movements. In this condition, the colon can neither absorb nor eliminate properly. Blood flows from the system and circulates through every organ in the body and reaches every cell. So this is why when you have a dirty colon, a lot of times that the circulatory system from the colon is going into other areas because it's taking those toxins that it's in the colon and moving it to the liver and moving it to the bladder and moving it to the uterus and moving it to the lungs and moving it to the heart. So, you know, this is another reason why it is very important to keep the colon cleansed, you know, to properly cleanse the body of tissue. When it comes to healing the body of any illnesses and diseases, we must first start by thoroughly cleansing the bowels. Now, there is no quick fix to this. I know some people say, oh, well, if that's the case of getting to complete health and wellness, let me go over to CVS or Walmart and buy me some Metamucil and I'll be straight. No. There's no quick fix, and that goes for all you herbalists out there or herb users. Don't think that you could just take some psyllium husk and your colon is fine, and definitely don't think if you get a series of colonics, you are a picture of perfect health, and I'm going to talk about that because that's going to be a rant on itself as far as colonics is concerned. But no, there is no quick fix. It took time for you to pollute your body to the point of diseases, and it's going to also take that time, maybe a little bit less, to reverse the process through a series of intestinal cleansing. Now, the colon is inhibited by bacteria, parasites, and other organisms, and the immune system can only be as strong based upon the colon. Now, the average person is carrying several pounds of dried fecal matter impacted in their colon as a result of eating flour, which is, let me emphasize what type of flour. White flour, okay? White flour, bleached flour, and remember when I told you my ex, the reason why he's my ex, because he just had a problem with me being healthy, but the reason why my ex, that I said in my last broadcast, he had a problem with me going to the grocery store, reading in the ingredients, is because I'm looking for words like that. If you get a loaf of bread, look at the ingredients. Does it say 100% stone ground wheat, or does it say bleached flour? Does it say, you know, what is the other word? Oh, my goodness, I got a memory block just that fast about another word that they put it for, the type of flour that they have. But anyway, if it's just white flour, leave it alone. But also meat, fats, dairy products, white sugar, or a lot of sugar and preservatives is another reason why people are carrying around pounds of dried up fecal matter, which is impacted in the walls of the colon. The average food transfer time is between 18 to 24 hours in a healthy colon. Let me say that again. The average food transfer time is between 18 to 24 hours in a healthy colon. So if you have a healthy colon, that means that the food that came into your mouth, you're going to expel it between 18 to 24 hours. Some will expel it an hour, some will expel it 6 hours. It just depends on your colon. Now, I've seen some clients who've had bowel movements every 2 to 7 days. Even once a day may be an indication of constipation, depending on the food consumption. Because if you're having, if you're a snacker, then you're not really going to have a good bowel movement. You're supposed to be eating meals, not snacks. So this also will contribute to the elimination process. Surprisingly, healthy elimination should be within 1 or 2 hours after eating a meal. If you eat 3 to 5 times a day, your bowel movement should be accordingly. So that means you should, if you eat 3 to 5 times a day, or you eat 3 meals or 5 meals a day, you should have 3 or 5 bowel movements. Let me also reemphasize that if you eat small meals, then no, because me, I eat 6 small meals, but I have 3 bowel movements. So those small meals are really small. So let's just say if you're also eating 3 big meals, so those 5 meals are actually 3 meals cut separated every 3 hours in small portions. So if you're eating three meals a day, three healthy meals a day, then you should have three bowel movements a day. And if you're not, then that's a sign of constipation or a sluggish sluggish colon. Bowel movements once a day or every 2 to 3 days is considered normal, but it all depends. Like I said, it all depends upon your meal consumption, okay? Now, foul-smelling stool and gas are signs of toxic colon, just like the pool lady from the BBC channel, who you are who you eat. Oh, no, you are what you eat. And she's like, oh, your poo is just awful smelling. And I'm sitting there, why would she want to smell it? But anyway, you smell it because it came from your body and you're in the bathroom. If you have to use a whole can of Lysol to mask the smell after doing number two in the bathroom, you have some serious colon problems. Also, if you notice that you have to take some reading material into the bathroom with you and sit on the toilet and wait for the waste to be expelled from your body, you are constipated, okay? A healthy bowel movement is supposed to be in and out. You don't sit on the toilet and wait for it to come out. That means you have to strain sometime. Usually, you know, when you have a healthy colon, and I'm speaking from my experience, you go in, you sit down, it comes out. It's not diarrhea. It's just, I'm about to get a little graphic here, so bear with me. But it's not diarrhea. It's just a form log coming out. You know, you wipe yourself, clean yourself. You know, if you got a bidet, use that. Then you just get up and you flush the toilet and you leave. And this is all under 2 minutes. And it's probably not even that long. But if you're in there longer than that, then you have some problems. So, you know, it's something you should really consult your personal professional on. And the medical doctors, this is why I do a disclaimer, they don't know nothing about this. Consult your naturopathic doctor in your area. Consult your holistic nutritional person in your area. They will tell you what I'm telling you. They should know that this is not the means of a proper elimination, okay? Now, the healthy color of your stool is supposed to be golden brown, and it has minor odor. Being tongue-tied today. It's supposed to have a minor odor. So it means you don't have to close the door and put 4 or 5 incense in there in addition to, you know, using half a can of Lysol. It's supposed to be golden and brown in color. You know, it's supposed to be a size of a log. And it's supposed to float. If it floats, that means you have high fiber in your system. If it sinks to the bottom, that means you have a lot of toxins in your system. Now, if you're going through a colon cleansing and your stool sinks to the bottom, that's okay because you're getting rid of the layers of fecal matter that was inside your colon for years. And, of course, that's going to sink to the bottom because that's the bad stuff and that's getting out. But if you cleanse your colon or you think you're healthy, let's just say for those people who say, I'm healthy, I don't apply to any of this stuff Dr. Kim is saying, then, you know, when you do number two, go down there and look at it, you know, and see, does it float or does it sink? Is it a pebble or is it logs, okay? Did you have to stay in there for 60 seconds to 90 seconds or did you stay in there for a good 5 to 10 minutes? That all depends on just how healthy you are. During constipation, you may observe a darkening of the stool, and this is caused by longer transition time in your system, you know, from the fact of you eating, you know what I'm saying? So basically, if the longer the food or the longer the waste has stayed in the colon, the darker it will be. The more toxic waste is, you know, the more toxic the waste is, the darker it will be. I'm starting to go all over the place again. And therefore, you can tell a lot about the health of your body based upon the shape, size, and color of your bowel movements. Now, when we indulge into daily routines of eating foods low in fiber and low in live enzymes, and I need to do a special on that. What I mean by live enzymes, we talk about live enzymes, digestive enzymes that are in raw food, like your what? Fruits and vegetables. So this will cause also constipation. Now, the first habit is what you need to do to, let's go, we already see what's the bad thing. Let's see what we need to do to get your colon back to normal and keeping it healthy and cleansing it and all that other good stuff. First, you need to develop some habits, okay? And you need to eat good foods. You need to eat foods high in fiber. You need to eat foods that is high in vitamins and minerals and quality foods, okay? Now, what people who eat foods that are high in refined sugar, refined flour, processed foods, and you know what I mean by the processed foods. I'm talking about the foods that are in the box, the TV dinners, the Weight Watcher meals, those things that are pre-made and they're inside of the box that are in the refrigeration section. Listen, that meal is supposed to stay in that it's supposed to be refrigerated for a long period of time, and so that means it's processed. It's going to, one, be high in sodium, which is not good for the body, but it's not going to have any nutritional value whatsoever. And I know everybody's telling you, oh, but it's low in fat and high in protein and blah, blah, blah. That's baloney, okay? Nothing will beat fresh foods. Processed foods is garbage. Quality nutrients is only found in fresh foods, okay? So stop buying foods at the market that's processed. Start buying fresh food, and if you are pressed for time, then make it a couple of days make it, like if you make a nice soup, you can make it and freeze it, a nice vegetable soup, and freeze it, and then just thaw it every time you need to eat. And that's another story, and I'll talk about how to properly eat and prepare nutritious foods for people who are on the go. So that's just another one. Here's something else is another bad habit people have, holding on to their bowel movements. And some people will feel the urge to eliminate, but they will not because it's going to cause an inconvenience or they're embarrassed. I get this from high school teenagers or children who are in elementary school. They have bad colon problems, and it's all because they are too embarrassed. If they have to do number two or eliminate, they don't want to because they are embarrassed. They don't want to go into the bathroom and do number two or whatever because of embarrassment, so they will hold on to it, and this is not good for the colon, okay? I can go more into this, but I'm just going to stop and touch and go, and this goes for adults, too. You have some adults who don't want to use their bathroom in their office for number two, and you know the only reason is because, one, you got to stay in there long because you're constipated, and two, your poo is so smelly you just don't want everybody at your job talking about you. So if you have a clean colon, you can be like me, you know, you can go anywhere and do number two, and it's just, you know, it's fast, quick, and a hurry, and there's no smell, you know, so you can go in and go out and nobody won't know that, you know, you have lit up the whole bathroom with an evil scent. Okay, the next thing is, the next bad habit that some people have is not drinking enough water. I'm going to always talk about water. I love water, and you'll never get away from water, never, okay? And remember, you should drink half your body weight in ounces, the water you need. So if you weigh your daily intake. So if you weigh 160 pounds, you're supposed to divide it by two. It's going to come up to 80. And 80 ounces is what you're supposed to be drinking a day to keep a healthy colon. Now, let's talk about the herbs that are used to cleanse the colon. One, my favorite is psyllium husk or hulls. And this herb has been used for centuries now, you know. Although most people see psyllium husks as being benefiting in the cause of constipation, it also has other benefits as well. You know, not only does it shorten the gastrointestinal tract, but it also increases stool weight. So, and what it does is, let me tell you something, you have to drink a lot of water when you take psyllium husk because it's like the broom. I call it the broom of the colon. When you take it, it expands into this big fiber ball, and it goes in and it attaches itself to all the toxins and parasites and uneliminated waste in the colon, and it starts to very easily smooth itself out of the colon and come out, and that's where you get the nice little lard from. You know, psyllium is great. It's very high in fiber, okay? And you could take psyllium in a pill form, or you could take it in the powder form. It just depends on your preference. So, you know, psyllium is something that is very good for the body. I highly suggest it. It's something wonderful. And I would say do not, I don't recommend or suggest the kind that you can get that is involved in other synthetic products. I say go to a health store, go to a herb store, go to a whole food store and get the pure 100% psyllium husk or hulls. You will love it, okay? And like I said, you can take it with the pills or the powder form, but just make sure you drink a lot of water with it, okay? A lot of water will be beneficial because the more water you drink with it, the more it will expand and just start sweeping all that gook out of your colon. The second herb that you can take for cleansing the colon is Cassia sagrada, which has been traditionally used by Native Americans for washing the bowels. This is something I like to use personally in addition to psyllium. Psyllium is not my number one choice. Cassia sagrada is my second choice. It also helps strengthen the muscles and intestinal tract, and it is extremely effective laxative and digestive. It has extremely effective laxative and digestive qualities, so it will enhance the muscle tone of the colon walls, and therefore it's really good. Some people can't take, probably a small percentage of people can't take Cassia sagrada because it will cause diarrhea, but that percentage I've noticed in my practice have only been like 15%, but most people can take Cassia sagrada with no problem. My least favorite herb, and let me just say this again, my least favorite herb is senna. And I'm going to tell y'all a personal story. I'll make it quick. In order to be certified as a master herbalist, we have to take all the herbs we suggest to other people. That's the only way we can get certified. So we have to know by personal experience how those herbs affected our body, how they taste, and what method we used in order to get the benefits from them. So I remember, I already knew senna was going to cause some cramping. I knew it, but in order to be true to my certification as one of my credentials as a master herbalist, I had to take that crap. And let me tell you something, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. If senna is for people who have not had a bowel movement in 2 weeks, okay, if you are not constipated like that, if you have had a bowel movement within a week, do not take senna. Stay away from that stuff. Trust me. You'll thank me later. This stuff will grab your intestines, and it is an uncontrollable pain. Now, maybe it just hurt me to that extreme because I have a healthy body or a healthy colon. But I've had other clients state that senna caused them cramps. And what I want people to understand, if you know an uncle, I have an uncle, and he has this big, big beer belly, but it's not a result of beer. It's a result of all that pork and beef he's been eating and zero vegetables. He hates vegetables, so he has this big gut. And my uncle, when he doesn't have a bowel movement, but when he does eventually have one, woo, I make sure I don't come back in that house for 24 hours. They need to be quarantined, okay? So he called me one time, this was like 3 years ago, and he haven't had a bowel movement in like, I think it was 2.5 weeks, and he was feeling weak and had headaches, bad migraines, his skin was just all scaly and dry and was just having a bad, he was too scared to go to the hospital because he thought he had some uncurable disease or anything. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, when was the last time you had a bowel movement? And he went, I think I had one. And then when he really thought about it, he remembered when he had to have a bowel movement. He was watching the game. I think it was the Atlanta Falcons against the Dallas Texans or something like that, and that's when he had to go to the bathroom during halftime. And it took him all of halftime to actually eliminate it, and his friends who were watching it with him left out because it was just smelling so bad. Anyway, long story short, I gave him some Senna. It didn't even cramp him. He didn't cramp at all. He had a bowel movement within 4 hours of taking it, and he had bowel movements all that day and half of the next day. And then it started, and he went back to having the bowel movements because he wouldn't change his diet. He wouldn't drink water. He wouldn't do what he had to do like he's supposed to. But he starts to be dependent upon the Senna because of the fact that his colon is so compact that it doesn't affect him like it affects normal people. And one thing about Senna is it's just too strong, and it just causes diarrhea in normal people and cramping in others. So, you know, you're not supposed to take Senna more than a week, and I told him that, because it will cause you to be dependent upon it. And there are some herbs that cause dependency, and Senna is one of them. And prolonged use also increases, believe it or not, I've done some research on this with other herbalists, but prolonged use of Senna will cause a risk of colon cancer. So those people who love to use Senna, don't. Just leave it alone. If you have some constipation issues, you just need to consult with your naturopathic doctor or holistic doctor in your area. Now, another colon cleansing herb which is good is for children is aloe vera juice. Also, raw juiced apples is very good for children who are suffering from constipation. I don't recommend Cancera Sagrada, and I definitely don't. I mean, unless you want to go to jail for child abuse, keep them away from Senna. But aloe vera juice is very gentle. It's very healing for any child who is suffering from constipation. It's also good for adults, too, because it has laxative properties, and it does not cause diarrhea. So depending upon the weight of your child, it's just dependent upon how much aloe vera juice you're supposed to give them. Okay, so aloe vera juice is very good for children, or you can also just juice some apples. Just get some red apples. It could be organic or not, and just juice about 5 or 6 of them and give them to your child. Make sure you take the seeds out because those are poisonous. So take the apple seeds out and then just juice the rest of the apple, keep the skin on, give it to the child, and they will have a bowel movement. That's another gentle way of doing it. And also prune juice is another good way. It's another gentle juice for children to eliminate and cleanse their colon gently. So I have a lot of clients who bring their children to me, and I definitely, when it comes to cleansing the colon, I will always suggest those three, either a prune juice and aloe vera juice or apple juice, and it all depends upon the child's weight. It all depends upon their health status. And also it depends on, you know, whether they're embarrassed to go boo-boo at the school. And unfortunately, some of them are so dead set against that I have to tell the mother to keep them home. I'll give them a doctor excuse, and they have to do their elimination at home and then go back to school with a healthy colon. I also have a product that helps cleanse the colon as well. It also helps with parasite cleansing, so it's called Dr. Aquila's Detox, and it cleanses the colon as well as kill the parasites and help with reintroducing friendly bacteria into the colon for proper function. So a lot of times when people have yeast in their system, it started from the colon first, and then it moves to the uterus, and then women have yeast infections, or it gets transferred into the bloodstream, and some people will get eczema, psoriasis. Also understand that eczema and psoriasis is a direct relation of yeast. It is caused first by yeast, okay? or what some doctors will call candida. So I have a product called Dr. Kila Detox, which will help cleanse the colon. It has, of course, my favorite in there, herbs that I described as well. There's a lot of other products out there at your Whole Foods space, at your holistic restaurants, holistic supermarkets, herbal stores, any type of stores that specialize in herbs and vitamins as well as organic foods. They will have colon cleansers as well. Just to be honest, mine is no special one, but it's one I have that's formulated myself, so it will help you out. And in addition to the other herbs that I mentioned, and we have also, I want to mention before time is running out, because it's going to run out very soon, is colon cleansing methods. And you know what, folks, unfortunately, I'm not even going to go into the type of, go and expound on this, but let me just tell you the colon cleansing methods. We just talked about the herbs. Castor oil packs are a good way of cleansing the colon. To explain how the castor oil pack is what you get a cheesecloth, you soak it in castor oil, place it over the stomach, use clear wrap Reynolds wrap, I think, clear wrap to wrap it around your abdomen area to keep it in place so it won't leak all over the place. And then you take a heating pad, lay down, have the heating pad on top of the cheesecloth that's soaked in castor oil, and it will soak into the colon, and therefore you will eliminate your bowels that way too. It's one of those relaxing type of colon cleansing. It's not thorough, but it's effective, okay? The third, because herb is first, castor oil is second, enemas. I love enemas, okay? Now, if you ask me, Dr. Keeler, what you suggest between a colonic and an enema, enema will be numero uno every time, okay? And that's what I said, unfortunately, I can't go into details on why I feel that way, but maybe on another show I will talk about colon cleansing methods. It's not a priority at the moment, but if you want to know more, just go to my website on the colon cleansing methods and why I suggest these on my website, healingpowerhour.com. So I love enemas. You can have coffee enemas. You can have garlic enemas, apple cider vinegar enemas, lemon enemas. You can just make any kind of herbal enemas like catnip. Oh, my goodness, I can just go on and on about enemas. Or you can just have a clear water enema. It's safe. It's very soothing. It's not invasive or harsh. It's something where you have control over, and it's something that you can use, especially when you're fasting. So I'm all about enemas. Now, colonics, I'm not anti-colonic. Don't get me wrong. I feel that there's a time for colonics, and I am against multiple sessions. I'm against multiple colonic sessions. I hope that doesn't rub anyone the wrong way who was a colonic therapist. I love you people. You all serve your purpose. However, when you sell these colonic packages, it does no services whatsoever. It does more harm than good. I have had in my whole entire life only two colonics. The first one was when I was transferring from the eating meat lifestyle to the vegan lifestyle, and the other one was during my cancer therapy healing. And I'm just going to have to go more into details on that later because I don't have any more time. So in other words, there's a time and a place for colonics, and I do not believe in frequent colonics. Now, okay, so now that your colon is cleansed, once you have cleansed the colon, you can keep it clean by eating a healthy, well-balanced diet and getting lots of exercise in addition to drinking your daily dose of water. You should also quit any unhealthy habits that may cause your colon to be unhealthy. And if you drink a lot of alcohol and you're smoking, do set a goal to stop that. Okay, keeping yourself in the best shape possible is really going to benefit you your health. and keeping your colon clean, meaning that it's going to keep you on this earth for a very, very long time, disease and illness free. Okay, so that is me in a nutshell. I'm glad I signed up for an hour instead of 45 minutes because, that hour was, it just went right on by. So, hey, if you have any questions, you can always go to my website, healingpowerhour.com, and email me. We have a feedback form there, and let me know what you think. You can't hurt my feelings, so if you tell me your jokes are not funny, just say, hey, I don't care if you tell me that, but I would like to know because maybe I need to listen to it and get a second opinion. And if somebody else says my jokes are not funny, then I'm going to have to stop telling those jokes. I am just all about improving myself. And if you have a topic you would like me to discuss, please let me know. Also, just check out our website for all kinds of services and information. And we have our free newsletter that we give out every month. So healingpowerhour.com is the place to go. All right, so that is enough for me. I am going to end this on a beautiful note with my favorite client, well, not the favorite, but one of my favorites, India Irie, and her song called My Life. I love positive music, and I love positive news, and I suggest that you surround yourself with the same. So with greetings of peace, love, health, and prosperity, I wish upon you leaving with peace, love, health, and prosperity. This is Dr. Akilah. If you'd like to contact me, you can call at 770-603-0141. Until next time, have a great today and a better tomorrow. See you later. Bye.
I really trusted that you do all you said you do
for me.
I can't even be mad, 'cause you're doing the best you can do.
Now I see
it's not that important for you, but for me it's never the same. Maybe it's just a moment for you, but for me it's every moment of every day of my life. This is mine. I'm gonna live mine. Life is only what you make it, and I'm gonna make the best of mine. You won't rule my life. So many tears and sleepless nights. I've got way too much invested.
So many have lied to me, so friendly but so phony. I let it hurt my feelings, but I've had a revelation that I can hold for integrity, but I can only control my pain. Dishonesty may win the race, but you cannot stop what God has ordained for my life. You won't ruin my life. Is only what you make it. I'm gonna make the best of mine. Too many tears and sleepless nights. I've got way too much invested in my life.
Invested in my life.